Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Coming up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. It is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It's 103 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona. Sunny with 20% humidity. Home prices are shooting up like a North Korean rocket over Japan. The only difference being I can see the home prices going up. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
It's time to break free, live on PBFTT, August 29th, 2017. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. So we're going to discuss the rising home prices, but before we get into that, I wanted to talk about Milo Yiannopoulos. That was the gentleman at Berkeley, speaking at Berkeley, that Henry was speaking about. Milo Yiannopoulos is a gay Jew who was fired from Breitbart, that is the leader of the fake alt-right movement. Or not the leader, but a leader. If you want to get just like a crash course on this gentleman, go to YouTube and put in his name, and which I don't have it in front of me for proper spelling, but anyway, I'm sure the Google will correct it for you. But put his name along with Bill Maher into YouTube and watch that interview. It's a good crash course. And if you want to go a little deeper, one of the next ones you might want to look at is him on NPR with Steve Inskeep, I believe it was. So now I want to do an update on yesterday's show. Mary from North Dakota had sent a video in as a comment showing that the mother Susan Bro that we were discussing yesterday is remarkably similar to the mother at Sandy Hook. And today we got an article that was posted by number one New World Order hater at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion, titled "Remarkable Resemblance of Mothers of Charlottesville and Sandy Hook Victims." So I just want to encourage everybody, if you haven't seen it already, to go take a look and confirm that in your mind. Okay, one second. I just got to move a couple notes real fast. Ding, ding, ding. All right, so let's get right into this AP article. U.S. home prices surge in June, led by Seattle. Now, this article, I bought this house for $47,000 that I'm living in right now, cash, from the money that I got for my house in New York, which wasn't much more than that. And I was able to fix it up for under $20,000. $6,000 of that was just the AC unit. And the rest was just, you know, whatever it took to get it done. I did tile floors and all that. So, but now, when I bought it, if I had fixed it up beautifully perfect, it would have been worth about $95,000. The way it's going, it's going to be worth about $130,000. So in 2 years, it's jumped a significant double-digit percentage. I'm not good enough to do the math in my head right now, but it's gone up quite some. You know, or what would that be? Well, whatever, 25% has gone up. So anyway, that's fine and dandy for me as a seller, but for me as a buyer, when I go, because I want acres. So everything has risen by percentages. So let's just say, let's assume that it's 25% here. That means if I want to buy a multi-acre property that might have cost, $200,000. Now, what's 25% of $200,000? So it's going to be what? $250,000, $275,000, whatever the hell it is. So everything is going up. It's making it very difficult to be a buyer. And there's really not even that much available on the market. I'm sure all the people that are underwater for making the mistake of purchasing in a bubble market are probably happy, but I ain't happy. So much so I'm seriously considering leaving this state because I don't fancy myself stupid enough to buy at the top of a bubble market. Anyhow, U.S. home prices surge in June, led by Seattle. Washington AP, U.S. home prices climbed higher in June with gains that are eclipsing income growth, creating affordability pressures for would-be buyers. The Standards and Poor Core Logic Case Shiller 20 City Home Price Index rose 5.9% in June. Now that's a hell of a name, huh? Shiller? Okay, in June, according to a Tuesday report, the separate national average rose as well, putting it 4.3 above its housing bubble era peak in July 2006. The price increases are different from the bubble period when subprime mortgages led to a housing bust. There is a shortage of properties for sale. Now, why is that? Causing the prices to steadily rise at more than double the pace of the average hourly earnings. Interesting. Buyers are also relying on historically low mortgage rates to ease affordability pressures. So they've made mortgages easy again. Like I said, one of my friends barely makes $40,000 a year, and she's a single mother of two, and they're trying to throw her a mortgage for a home here with these high prices. Cheaper borrowing costs have kept buyer demand strong despite the price increases. Prices are likely to keep rising, said David Blitzer, chairman of the index committee at S&P Dow Jones Indices. Given current economic conditions and the tight housing market, an immediate reversal in home prices price trends appear quickly, Blitzer said. The largest price gain over past year occurred in Seattle metro area with a 13.4% increase year over year. So yeah, I mean that would be basically a 27% if you're saying over 2 years. And if I'm experiencing about 25% or whatever that would be, maybe it's a little less, then that sounds about right now, doesn't it? Portland, Oregon, and Dallas recorded sizable price growth, but other metro areas are seeing a more tempered increase in home sales. Prices rose less than 4% in the more expensive New York City and Washington, D.C. markets. They increased 2.9% in Cleveland and 3.2% in Chicago. The National Association of Realtors said last week that the number of existing homes listed for sale has plummeted 9% over the past 12 months to 1.92 million because buyers are competing for fewer homes. That doesn't make any sense. There's less homes on the market because buyers are competing for fewer homes. The realtor's median sales price has surged 6.2% to $258,300. Supporting demand have been relatively low mortgage rates. The average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was 3.86% last week, according to the mortgage buyer Freddie Mac. Average rates have declined in recent months, in line with the Treasury bond yields, as uncertainty has surrounded President Donald Trump's tax and infrastructure policies and their ability to stimulate faster economic growth. So none of that really makes sense to me. I don't really think that, okay, I want to say if there's a reason these homes are going up, maybe we're not building enough new homes. Okay, there's this particular area, when the housing bubble burst, there's many, many tracks where they built the block walls around the track. They put in some of the sewage and water infrastructure and graded the land, made the retention ponds. Some of them have even built the road infrastructure, and they might have a dozen homes in the, you know, this massive subdivision, and there's maybe only a dozen homes in there. And I don't really see very many homes being put. I don't see any of these subdivisions really going up. So that might be part of it. But I'm willing to bet, just like the housing bubble, it's because the banks are putting out these loans. So now I just wanted to mention this real quick. We have a funny yet serious video on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com titled "Serial Carjacker Loses Pants During Failed Carjacking Attempt." Now, the person who uploaded this is Dark Horse News, and they had their channel completely taken down by YouTube. All Dark Horse News really does is upload crazy videos from all around the world, and I've actually posted a lot of their stuff on the trenches. But what happens when YouTube knocks down somebody's channel, all of their content is gone permanently. All of their subscribers are gone permanently, and it's not like you get a notice that you lost your subscription to this individual. So I just want to encourage everybody to give Dark Horse News a like and a subscribe. Now, something I wanted to touch on real quick. I just actually wanted to read my comment because it's really more questions than answers. But we got an article at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com titled "Market Plunge and Gold Soars as a North Korea Missile Fires Over Japan." Let's see who sent this in. This was sent in by Sunfire, August 29th, 2017. And I wrote, so when Trump talks about attacking North Korea, the market goes up. And when North Korea gives Trump more fuel to say the same thing, it goes down. I think all of this is arbitrary BS.
Bullshit.
Now here's my question, and I've never I've done a little bit of searching, and I've never been able to readily find the answers to this, and nobody's been able to properly answer these questions for me. So if you can, please feel free. Who is it that values the currency and the commodities? When do they do it? Where do they do it? How do they do it? What are their rules? What are their bylaws? What are their tools they use to measure the market movements? And why does the whole world seemingly value their data points? I haven't been able to answer this question on my own. The economists are just a joke. You might as well be looking at your horoscope when you're listening to them pricks. And every time I pose this question to somebody, I've never had anybody been able to definitively answer that. And I think if there's anything that the whole world should be looking at, who the hell is setting these market prices? Who's doing this? Okay. Now, we talked about, I spoke about the North Korean rocket when I opened up the show, and the fact that I can see the home prices going up, but I can't see the rocket. So I put out a trencher alert today saying, calling on the trenchers to find video evidence of a North Korean missile flying over Japan, uploaded on or after August 28th, 2017. And as of last hour, I looked through all the responses, and nobody's been able to find it. One of our really good news hounds that's really good at finding links, Angel from NYC, couldn't find it. All right, so let me get my notes pulled up here. All right, so, hey, Trump supporters, it looks like your sworn enemy, Hillary Rodham Clinton, is never going to be locked up. What's with that? All right, we got an article that ties right into this. It was sent to you from thetrenchesworldreport.com for discussion. It's coming from the Daily Mail. It's titled, Hillary, the Live Show. Clinton to tell audience her personal, raw, detailed, and surprisingly funny story in unprecedented nationwide tour with tickets selling for up to $1,200. I thought this woman was supposed to be bogged down in a legal mire by now. What's with you, Trump supporters? Shouldn't you be pushing for your boy to get this done? I thought she was your sworn enemy. I thought she kept you up at night. I thought she was equivalent to Hitler or Mao or something. What's going on here? Apparently she gets to go around charging $1,200 for a book tour, just for a ticket. This fall, Hillary Clinton will be going on a 15-city book tour to promote her new tome, What Happened? She will visit a number of states she lost to President Trump, including Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Florida. Clinton promises to let her guard down during the tour and tell the audience a personal, raw, detailed, and surprisingly funny story. All right. Hillary Clinton will be back in the spotlight this fall for an unprecedented big-ticket book tour for her new tome, What Happened?, with tickets being priced as high as $1,200. On Monday, the ex-Democratic nominee announced Hillary Clinton Live, a 15-city tour, which includes stops. Oh, it's kind of repeating itself here. All right, promotional materials for her first stop at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. promises Clinton plans to let loose and tell her audience a personal raw detail. Mingy, they're just repeating themselves over and over again. Well, I'll tell you what. We don't need to get into the details of that article, but I'm going to bust your balls, Trump supporters. How come she's not bogged down with a legal quagmire by now, okay? And I'll go further on that. Well, actually, no, that ties into a later article. Forget what I said. Okay, now I'm seeing a bunch of videos and articles of cops pulling guns on unarmed people at first contact. This even happened to my next door neighbor. I mentioned it before, but he was just driving to work, 10 miles over the speed limit, 6 a.m., cop did a U-turn, pulled him over. His window didn't roll down. The cop opened the window. This, you know, an elderly woman, basically, sheriff, opened the window and pointed her pistol at this gentleman for 10 over the speed limit. So I think the point is these cops are getting really scared. These cops are getting quite scared, folks. Okay, so, hey, Trumpers, I thought your boy was going to deport the felonious illegal aliens and work towards stopping illegal immigration. What's going on, Trumpers? Please tell me. You know, you can't tell me that it is not logistically and economically feasible to have that border secured. You can't tell me that. Okay, so this article ties directly in. Posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. This one's coming from Fox 31 Denver. Denver City Council passes controversial immigration protections. And this goes right in line with what Henry was reading about, I believe it was Chicago, in the last hour. Denver. The Denver City Council unanimously passed an ordinance Monday limiting how the city works with federal immigration officials. The Denver Public Safety Enforcement Priorities Act passed 10-0 and bans city officials from asking and arresting individuals' immigration status. Let me just read that again. City bans officials from asking and arrested individuals' immigration status. The city will also ignore U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detainer requests and ban ICE from conducting in-person jail interviews without a warrant. Exceptions include necessary peacekeeping or following a warrant from a federal judge. The move comes after a Republican state lawmaker wrote a letter to the Justice Department to demand a federal investigation into Denver, saying the measure could increase the risk of crime. Mayor Michael Hancock said State Representative Dave Williams from El Paso County is trying to make headlines and the new ordinance complies with federal law. Denver is sending a clear and resolute message to our community that we stand with immigrant and refugee communities and are committed to remaining a city that is safe and welcoming for all, Hancock said. Well, you won't even stand with a little kid trying to do a lemonade stand, but you're going to stand with these illegals and refugees? You know, it sounds like you're right in the back pockets of the Jewish supremacists who are influencing most of this immigration BS. And I'll tell you what, Trumpers, come on up. Give me a call. You tell me why that border. I want to hear your rationalization. I want to hear why logistically and economically it is not feasible. I want you to rationalize those checkpoints 100 miles north of the border. I want you to rationalize these dumbass border patrol going through the mountains with dogs looking for bales of herbs, okay? Instead of getting on that damn border and doing the damn job they're supposed to be doing. And as far as letting people come over the border to visit and do commerce or something, considering a lot of them aren't leaving, they're just crossing the border legally and then not leaving, then there's maybe something we need to do about that as well. And one of the ideas I had before, one of the solutions I had before, is make them drop some money off right at that border. And if they don't leave, if they don't come to pick up their money and leave, just put a bounty right on their head. You know, the person has to be unharmed or whatever, but just put the money right on their head and you don't even need to hire anybody or do anything. Bounty hunters, when we have a ton of them, We'll snap that up and make it happen and bring them right back to the border, and we'll take their biometrics and shoot them right back over the border and be done with it. They'll lose their privilege to come back here. So there's solutions out there, and they don't have to be super expensive or super complicated. You just need to be an honest person with a damn brain in your skull to figure it out.
Hey, Dave.
Go ahead. How's it going?
How many owners aren't going to... Oh, we got a nickel in there.
You got a nickel in there?
Let's try it. The spotty hunters aren't going to go after those illegals. They're going to go after regular American citizens. That's who they're after.
Well, I think you're right about that. That's what they do currently, but I think they're chasing the dollar. You don't think that solution might work?
No, they're not going to take that dollar to chase those illegals. They'll take the dollar to chase us, but not them.
Well, then what would you propose as a solution? Would you just stop letting people come over here? Like if the Mexicans want to come up and shop in Tucson or whatever, what would you do to ensure that they go back over the border? How would you do it?
Not let them come across to begin with.
Well, it might get to the point where we got to start doing that. You know, I mean, I'm of the opinion we need to get this country fixed before we let a single soul in here. We got too many problems. I made a comment previously. The enemy is guarding the gates. That's what's going on. Obviously, the Border Patrol is not doing its job, and it's not logistics. It's not money. It's policy. You and I could get on the border with binoculars, a truck, and a shiny tin badge and make it happen. I guarantee it. Do you have any other thoughts on the subject? All right. Through this ordinance and the other two steps we're taking, Denver is building a trusting relationship with our immigrant and refugee communities that will improve the safety of our city and help everyone feel more secure. Well, I'll tell you what, boycott Denver, boycott Chicago, boycott any of these sanctuary cities. You know, that might be a way to do it. Pull the money right out from them. If you got a chunk of change, go buy a house somewhere else. Sell your house, buy it somewhere else, and get the hell out of those cities and stop helping them, stop putting tax money in their accounts. Hancock outlined additional measures to protect immigrants. Along with this new ordinance, I look forward to signing a complementary executive order that will establish a legal defense fund, create a working group to track developments and policy around immigration, protect victims of crimes regardless of their immigration status, assist children and families who become separated by the country's broken immigration system, and continue coordinating actions for immigrants and refugees, he said. How about this? Stop taking the money from us in the first place and just leave us the hell alone. I do not need you people. I find you to be more of a burden. 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more of a burden than you are an asset. I'd rather drive on dirt roads. I'd rather walk through a freaking footpath in the woods than have to deal with just straight up tyranny on a daily basis. And that's what it is, folks. Here in my county, well, actually, on the Indian Reservation, just a little bit north of me, I see people getting pulled over by unmarked vehicles all the time. And that shit ain't cool. This is tyranny.
David?
Go ahead.
David, this is Katie.
Hello, Katie. How's it going?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's going pretty good. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the audio is not coming through. And Angel, I think it was Angel, just posted a comment saying the sound dropped off.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to check your equipment. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to check it real quick. It seems that I'm still broadcasting, so what I'm going to guess is it's probably on Henry's end. And in just a moment, he'll get it back up. But I tell you what, folks, if you missed a little bit of the broadcast, the archive will be available, you know, maybe a half hour after the broadcast is done. So please feel free to download it. I apologize for that. I have a internet signal that is broadcast. I got a little antenna that sits on top of my roof, and it points directly at a tower. So it does drop periodically, and I do apologize, folks. All right. The ICE field officer in Denver fired back at the ordinance. By passing this irresponsible ordinance, the city of Denver's leadership has codified a dangerous policy that deliberately obstructs our country's lawful immigration system, protects serious criminal alien offenders, and undermines public safety, Jeffrey Lynch said in a statement. Well, yeah, I'd agree with that. Well, what are you going to do about it, Mr. Iceman? Are you just going to talk, or are you going to do something about it, Mr. Iceman? Why don't you get there with your comrades on the border and stop them from coming over the border? And if legal immigration needs to get shut down till we fix this muck and mire, then so be it. Anybody who wants to be with their family can leave. You can go back to your home country and leave. We don't need any more people over here with the enemy guarding the gates such as it is. And with that said, we've reached our bottom of the hour break, folks. Stay with us. We'll be back in about 8 minutes.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:39 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Leah with Celtic theme funeral song coming out of the break. So I wanted to finish up this article real quick, titled Denver City Council Votes to Implement Controversial Immigration Protection. Unanimously. Okay, so unfortunately, with this established policy, we can expect to witness more tragedies like we saw in the recent case of Ever Valls, a known gang member and an immigration enforcement priority who was released in December 2016 by Denver County without ICE being properly notified. He was later arrested and charged with murdering a 32-year-old man at a Denver Light rail station just 7 weeks after he was released from Denver County Jail. Our goal is to build a cooperative, respectful relationships with our law enforcement partners while we continue our efforts to work with Denver City government and support public safety. It is disappointing that they have taken such extreme steps in the wrong direction. Well, I'll tell you what, immigrations and custom enforcement, get with your Border Patrol buddies and start doing your damn job. Okay, and if you guys can't keep track of these people who are coming over the border or, you know, landing on the tarmac, then something needs to change because this is bullshit. We shouldn't be letting criminals up here. The people who have money and a happy life in Mexico stay in Mexico. Okay, the people that are up on the border and going through hell down there are the ones that come up here or the ones that want the free money and everything else that comes with it. And I'll tell you what, there's something in addition to all of what I just said. There is an exchange rate thing going on where if you take American dollars and turn them into pesos, you're able to purchase more with the pesos after they're converted from the dollars than you would if you were to use the dollar in and of itself. So that alone influences people economically to want to come up here and do work and send dollars via Western Union, mind you, right back over the border so they can be turned into pesos and the people can have some sort of a life down there. But I tell you what, we need to fix this country. Mexico needs to fix Mexico and right on down the line. You know, this whole North American continent needs to be fixed. We got nothing but problems. We got nothing but psychopaths running the show. And I'm sick of it. So, okay. I'm not sure how deeply I want to get into this article. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. It's coming from National Public Radio. Oy vey. The bleeding rectums of National Public Radio. It's titled, Why Didn't Officials Order the Evacuation of Houston? And I'll tell you what, when Katrina hit, I was in Bradenton, Sarasota area, Manatee County, which makes up the land. It's the landmass that makes up the southern mouth of Tampa Bay. That year, I believe we had about 4 hurricanes come through, and a couple of them went right over us. Katrina swung around the Gulf and didn't hit us like it was supposed to, but I got to see everybody freaking out ahead of time. So I'll tell you what, folks, that was one of the things that woke me up, was seeing how stupid everybody was. And another thing I saw that was funny, I was working with a construction company at the time on Anna Maria Island. I posted some photos yesterday. That was the company I was working with when I took those pics. But we went around putting plywood up on mainly businesses. We did a few friends of the company on their houses and all that. But we had grown men almost crying, just begging, offering us tons of money to put plywood up on your house. What kind of man are you if you don't know how to cut a sheet of plywood and screw it to your wall? You're not a man. You're a pseudo man. You may have testosterone and you might have the equivalent parts or whatever, but if you made it past 30 years old without figuring out how to cut a piece of plywood and screw it to your wall, you're no man in my book. As Hurricane Harvey churned towards the Texas coast, Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner told people to stay put. Don't evacuate, he said. Ride out the storm. Texas Governor Greg Abbott sounded a different note, telling Houstonians that if he were living in the area, he'd head north. If you have the ability to evacuate and go somewhere else for a little while, that would be good. Local officials, in response, doubled down on their advice. Don't go. The decision has come under scrutiny. Harvey brought unprecedented amounts of rainfall to the region, and more rain is yet to come. Thousands of people have been rescued from floodwaters, and 30,000 are expected to wind up in shelters. More counties and towns have issued evacuation orders, including a county just southwest of Houston, but the city of itself has not. The people outside the city watching this unfold have wondered why, some quietly, some loudly. Why were all those people home in the first place? Why were officials wary of calling an evacuation? There are multiple reasons, but one good place to start is on a scorching hot, utterly gridlocked freeway more than a decade ago. In 2005, just a few weeks after Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans, Hurricane Rita made its way towards Houston. Rita was even stronger than Katrina, and Houstonians had just witnessed what happened to New Orleans residents who decided to wait out the storm. Nobody wanted to repeat that mistake. The result, the largest evacuation in U.S. history, according to PBS, Texas legislators estimated that 3.7 million people left the Houston region in that evacuation effort. The evacuation was a disaster in itself, NPR's John McChesney reported from the scene in 2005. In searing 100-degree heat, cars crept up I-45, windows down, air conditioning off to save precious gasoline. The traffic jam stretched for over 100 miles and has been going on for over a day and a half. Gasoline was not to be found along the interstate, and cars that ran dry made the gridlock even worse. Abandoned vehicles littered the shoulder lanes. Now, I'll tell you what, there's no mystery in the fact that we have hurricanes. There's no mystery in the areas they might potentially land in. There is no reason there can't be a plan. Everybody doesn't need to be on the expressway. There's lots of parallel roads that could be used. If with this humongous, gigantic, disgusting police state and all of their equipment, you're telling me you haven't formulated a plan to figure out how to get people to evacuate without clogging up the expressway networks? I'm going to call bullshit on that. I think that – go ahead. Come on up.
David, this is Rev up here in Mesa.
Oh, how's it going, Rev?
I've ridden out a few. It's going pretty good, man. I've ridden out a few of these things. And you just hit the nail on the head when you were talking about Katrina and Florida. It's the stupid people. You want to know why there's price gouging going on? Because of the stupid people. The guy with the $100 case of water, he got that water because he applied a little forward thinking. The person who doesn't have the water had every opportunity to buy water just like the man who has the water did. The people who go choose to evacuate, like you said, there are alternate routes out of a city, but people are morons and they only know the expressway. You can't get, Houston's 12 million people. You cannot get 12 million people out of that area using I-45 and I-20. I-10, you're not going to evacuate 12 million people on three major arteries.
Yeah, only if you were to have people go in a staggered period of time would that be possible. I completely agree. Continue.
I mean, it's a lot of this is just anybody. First of all, I'm of the opinion. I mean, you know how Phoenix is. I've got 12,000 gallons of water in my backyard, and I have a water filter for it. But we're not in a disaster zone. People that live on the coasts anywhere are in hurricane zones, and we all know that hurricanes hit. You mean to tell me you don't have 5 or 10 or 20 cases of bottled water sitting in a closet somewhere in your house?
There's no excuse for that.
If you're going to ride these storms, if you're going to ride these storms out, you need to be prepared for what's going to come. And you need to be prepared for the eventuality that you might go 30 days without power. You might go 30 days without being able to get in your car and go get gasoline and go to the grocery store. If you're not prepared for 30 days worth, you have no business staying. And you should be one of the first ones on whatever road is heading out of that area.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just the fact that people...
I don't know. That's.
Go ahead.
People can tell me I'm wrong all they want, and maybe I am. But I'm telling you, if we got word that a major earthquake's going to hit Phoenix tomorrow, well, I'm going to be the first one on the road because without water, I can't survive here. And we know there isn't much water in the desert, and an earthquake is going to bust open pools and everything else. We don't have the water resources for something like that. So get on the road and get the hell out of that area. These people had a week's notice that there was a hurricane coming. They either needed to prepare or they needed to get out.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's exactly what I saw in Manatee County, which just really has I-75 when it comes to an expressway, and that doesn't even directly connect with the city of Bradenton. You can't even get to I-75 via a highway. You got nothing but stop and go regular old roads, and that whole system completely clogged up because of Katrina, and Katrina didn't even hit us. I saw all of the water disappear. I saw all of the gasoline disappear. I saw all the bread, the milk, and the canned food disappear. People started buying the expensive sheets of plywood, like the T111, which gives you that vertical siding finish, and they were putting that kind of shit up on their house. But I'll tell you what, if you live in a hurricane zone and you own a home, there's no reason for not having your window coverings. One thing that we used to do in Bradenton, Florida was build these window coverings out of plywood. We would prime them with paint so they could be stored without delaminating. And we would use a simple barrel bolt, which is the type of bolt that you lift up the little tab and then you slide it over. You put a barrel bolt at all corners of the plywood, and then you drill a receiving hole in your window frame. So all you have to do is number these things, pick your starting corner, and that's number one, and then just go all the way around the house and number these stupid panels, pull them out of the shed, shove them in the window, click, click with the barrel bolts, and you're done. Your windows are protected, and if something smashes that plywood, chances are it's not going to break your windows. Because what's ripping people's roofs off in a hurricane situation isn't just the wind. It's the fact that people's windows get blown out. And when that happens, the roof becomes an airplane wing. And how an airplane wing works is it's flat on the bottom and it's curved on the top. And the air is forced to move faster over the top than it does underneath. Therefore, it creates an uplift. So what happens at that point, once the windows are busted out, is people's roofs start flying off. And then I don't know what the hell a roof weighs, but it's tons. Now, these things are flying through the air and smashing to other homes, creating more damage, creating more death and destruction, all because some dumbass MF-er wasn't smart enough and didn't have enough forethought to go to freaking Home Depot, buy the plywood, cut it to size, grab the barrel bolts, and you don't even have to do it that way. You could screw it in depending on however you want to do it to attach it. There's many different ways to skin that cat. But there's absolutely no excuse for not being prepared. And I'll say that to everybody. I don't even care if you live. Go ahead.
You're exactly right. I mean, but the thing is, you can't wait until Tuesday before it's supposed to make landfall on Friday and decide, oh, gee, I need to go get plywood and cover my windows because there's not going to be any plywood.
Exactly.
You can't wait until Wednesday before it's supposed to make landfall on Sunday and say, oh, hey, maybe I better go get some bottled water. It's too late at that point.
Well, and we need
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I told you I rode out Hurricane Andrew. I was in a hotel. I was literally 25 yards off the freaking water. I watched that thing come in. But the man who owned the hotel that I stayed in, he had to evacuate because his wife had health problems. I was down there. I had nowhere to go. So I told him, I said, oh, I'm staying. Well, I got out with him, and I helped him prep that hotel. And like you said, except he didn't have plywood. He had sheets of corrugated tin that he had cut that we went out, and we covered up the windows. All the patio furniture that was around the swimming pool and everything went in the pool. You know, we did everything we could to prep that place. I had bathtubs full of water. You know, I mean, you got to prepare. You can't just say, oh, there's a big storm coming. I'm going to stay.
L-O-G-I-C.
Because it's not.
Logic. Applied logic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were probably safe.
A little forward thinking helps a lot.
I was just going to say, you're probably safer being close to the water.
That hotel was
You're probably safer being close to the water because
well, you know,
if you're inland, you'd have to suffer through all the blowing off roofs coming at you. Continue.
Well, yeah, and just think of what a square of asphalt shingles weighs.
It's 60 to 80 pounds.
Or even a square of tile shingle.
I'm not sure about a square of tile, but I'm pretty sure a square of asphalt is about 80 pounds. A ton. So we need to learn from these people's mistakes. We need to be smarter than all these people. You know, if these people are going to be a dumbass, learn from it. You know, when I was in Florida, it woke me up. I learned from it. It made me know that I need to have food and water. I need to have the supplies. I need to have the forward thinking. Otherwise, I'm going to be left in the dust with a bunch of idiots. And the aftermath is going to be like a zombie apocalypse. I mean, I grew up in Western New York, which gets brutally cold and the weather changes on a whim. And I'll tell you what, I never rolled out without a complete emergency kit in the back of my vehicle because every year people would run off the highway. They would get stuck in the snow and they would run their cars until the carbon dioxide, monoxide, or whatever's in the fuel killed them. Every single year it would happen. So in my trunk, I'd have food. I'd have not necessarily water because it was freezing, but matches and a little hatchet, a change of clothing, blankets, trash bags, flares, whatever, you know, was needed. And I packed it up real good and I had it, you know, real tight up in the trunk. And I tell you what, I would be able to survive 2, 3, 4, maybe even a week, you know, in the middle of winter in my car on the side of the road stuck in the snow. But the average person doesn't think. People in New York would leave their house wearing shorts because, oh, I'm just going to work and I'm just going to the store and I'm going from the home box to the car box to the store box. And I tell you what, you get caught out in that environment and hypothermia will kill you in minutes. I actually did something kind of dumb when I was a kid. I went bike riding and I wasn't dressed up appropriately. It felt like it was somewhat warm. It was maybe about 55 degrees, which is warm to a New Yorker. And I just had jeans and a jacket on. I go bike riding on a bike ride for like 2 or 3 miles. And I got to the point where I had to lay down in somebody's yard. It just hit me all of a sudden. I'm like, oh my God. And I just laid down in the snow. And I tell you what, it must have been a miracle or something. But all of a sudden my mom's pulling up in her car. You know, she must have had a gut feeling or enough foresight or something. To know that I had done something stupid. But hypothermia hit me quick. So you can never, don't ever underestimate Mother Nature. And I'll add something in addition to that. Don't ever underestimate the stupidity of the public. Now, when you see this thing going down for Katrina, what's going to happen if they do a dirty bomb? What's going to happen if we get hit with a nuke? You know, what's going to happen if some sort of big scale event happens? People are going to shit their pants and they're not going to know what to do. So one of the things that, you know, I actually had some notes about this, but we need to start moving away from these mega cities. And not just necessarily moving away from the mega cities. We need to become more than just consumers. We need to become producers.
You know, first and foremost, we need to be producing food. But not just food, even clothing. We need to start making clothing. We need to start quilting, stupid stuff like that. The stuff that our ancestors used to do, the skill sets that they used to have. You know, we can do them for a hobby and do them for entertainment. We don't have to go full force on them, but we need the skills. We need the equipment. You know, we need to start producing weapons. You know, we need to start becoming gunsmiths. We need to start producing our own energy, whether that's alcohol or maybe some sort of wood gas. You can run a car on wood, folks. Another thing, too, is we need to produce an enlightened next generation to replace us. We are definitely outnumbered by the dumbasses. We need to start enlightening people. And I think the best way to do any of this, the best way to get people to move to our thought line is to lead by example. If you start telling people what to do, but you ain't doing it yourself, nobody's going to respect you. And with that said, we've reached the end of the hour, folks. I appreciate our callers. I appreciate our listeners. And we'll be back at it again tomorrow. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day.